Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 5, The Cause of All Causes, Text 33. Tada samhatya chanyonyam Bhagavat chakti choditaha Sarasvatvam upadaya Chobayam shasrujur hir adaha Tada. All those, samhatya, being assembled, cha, also, anyonyam, one another, Bhagavat, by the personality of Godhead, shakti, energy, choditaha, being applied, sat asvatvam, primarily and secondarily. Upadaya, accepting. Cha, also. Ubayam, both. Shashrujur, came into existence. He, certainly. Adaha, this universe. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thus, when all these became assembled by force of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this universe certainly came into being by accepting both the primary and secondary causes of creation. Repeat that. Thus, when all these became assembled by force of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this universe certainly came into being by accepting both the primary and secondary causes of creation. Purport by Prabhupada. In this verse, it is clearly mentioned that the Supreme Personality of Godhead exerts His different energies in the creation. It is not that He Himself is transformed into material creations. He expands Himself by His different energies as well as by His plenary portions. In a corner of the spiritual sky of Brahma Jyoti, a spiritual cloud sometimes appears, and the covered portion is called the Mahatattva. The Lord then, by His plenary portion as Mahavishnu, lies down within the water of the Mahatattva, and the water is called the causal ocean, Karanajal. While Mahavishnu sleeps within the causal ocean, innumerable universes are generated along with His breathing. These universes are floating, and they are scattered all over the causal ocean. They stay only during the breathing period of Mahavishnu. In each and every universal globe, the same Mahavishnu enters again as Garbhodaya Kashi Vishnu and lies there on the serpent-like Shesha incarnation. From His navel sprouts a lotus stem, and on that lotus, Brahma, the Lord of the universe, is born. Brahma creates all forms of living beings of different shapes in terms of different desires within the universe. He also creates the sun, moon, and other demigods. Therefore, the chief engineer of the material creation is the Lord Himself, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9.10. It is He only who directs the material nature to produce all sorts of moving and non-moving creations. There are two modes of material creation: the creation of the collective universes, as stated above, done by the Mahavishnu, and the creation of the single universe. Both are done by the Lord, and thus the universal shape, as we can see, takes place. So, this chapter, Cause of All Causes, it begins with Narada Muni raising a series of questions with his spiritual father, Lord Brahma. So, Narada Muni is asking his dear father a series of questions. He says, please describe factually the symptoms of this manifest world. What is his background? How is it created? How is it conserved? And under whose control is all this being done? And then he goes on to ask a few more. What is the source of your knowledge? Under whose protection are you standing? And under whom are you working? What is your real position? Do you alone create all entities with material elements by your personal energy? So with that, Lord Brahma, immediately he establishes the fact that Lord Krishna is supreme. He says, it is he who creates first and I create after. So, as he sung in the Brahma Samhita 5.1, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adi Govinda Sarva Karana Karan. Cause of all causes. Everything emanates from the source, Lord Krishna. And he is way up there in Goloka Vrindavan in his two-armed form, holding his eternal flute in his threefold bending form. That's Krishna. And then we come down to talking about in this verse as to the energies and the planetary portions that that source of Krishna actually expands into to create what we have today in the material sky. In terms of creation, we've got the spiritual sky, we've got the material sky. Spiritual sky, 75%, material sky, 25%. And Krishna, mainly in the spiritual sky, he expands into his internal energy, made up of three components, basically. Sandini Shakti, Samvit Shakti, and Ladini Shakti. These three primary energies are mainly displayed in that 75% of the spiritual world. And he expands his material energy into the material world, the 25%. And in addition to this energy, he also has his planetary portions where he expands into portions like Mahavishnu, Garbhodaya Kashaya Vishnu, Shirodaya Kashaya Vishnu. And here we talk about the various forms that he expands into to give us this playground that we are all in, the material world. Okay. So Prabhupada states here, he's got his different energies and that not he doesn't transform into material creation. That original source of Krishna is still way up there. He starts off with by saying, in a corner of the spiritual sky, we've got this Brahma Jyoti. Above Brahma Jyoti, of course, we've got Lord Shiva's abode, Kailash. Above that, we've got the other spiritual names like Ayodhya, Vaikuntha Lokas. Then above that, we got Ayodhya Dham. We got Dwaraka Dham, Mathura Dham. And then finally, Goloka Vrindavan. In Vaikuntha Lokas, of course, as we know, it's predominated by opulence, awe and reverence. And then in the Ayodhya Dham and above, we've got the mode of sweetness, predominated by sweetness, Madhurya, Madhurya Ras is displayed there. And then below this, we've got the Brahma Jyoti, which is the effulgence of the sky. And sometimes there's this temporary cloud which appears in this Brahma Jyoti called Mahatattva. And that original Krishna, he expands as Mahavishnu into this, he enters this causal ocean, this material sky, this Mahatattva. And he lies in this causal ocean, as we can read here. He lies down within the water of the Mahatattva, and the water is called the causal ocean, Karanajal. And while Mahavishnu sleeps within the causal ocean, innumerable universes are generated along with his breathing. These universes are floating, and they are scattered all over the causal ocean. They stay only during the breathing period of Mahavishnu. And then this same Mahavishnu, he further then expands into each and every universe, known as Garbhodaya Kashaya Vishnu, lying in the Garbhodaka ocean. And from this Garbhodaya Kashaya Vishnu, there's this lotus stem, and Lord Brahma is born on the top of the lotus. And then we've got these 14 planetary systems down from Brahma's Satyaloka, Tapoloka, Janarloka, Mahaloka, Swargaloka, Bhuloka, and then down further into seven more planetary systems. ఆతల వీతల సూతల తలతల మహాతల రాసల రాచాతల అండ్ పాతల. ఓకే, వి ఆల్ నో వే వి బిలాంగ్, ఆర్ అట్లీస్ట్ ఐ నో వే ఐ బిలాంగ్. ఓకే, సో దిస్ ఇస్ ఆల్ ది మెటీరియల్ స్కై. అండ్ దెన్ ప్రభుపాద్ గోస్ ఆన్ టు సే, అమంగ్స్ ఆల్ దిస్ ద చీఫ్ ఇంజనీర్ ఇస్ ద లార్డ్. ఓకే, సో హియర్ వీఆర్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ దిస్ బిగ్ 25% అండ్ దిస్ 75%. And then we might also ask ourselves, why create this material world? What was the need for it? Okay. Then we ask ourselves, where did we come from? Mahavishnu, casting his divine glance at the Mahatattva, impregnates each and every universe with the jivas and kala, time. Right, time is conspicuous in the material sky in the 25%. Time is conspicuously absent in the spiritual sky, 75%. So this wonderful creation, this whole infrastructure, this grand design is there in this material sky, and then all these jivas enter. 8.4 million different species of life enter, right, and they are sprinkled all over these material universes that are floating. And in this 8.4 million different species of life, there's one called humans. Okay? In fact, there are 400,000 species of humans. This one lives on a planet called Earth, Bhuloka. Okay? The middle planet. And on this planet, these human beings, as we know, there are 7 billion of them. Many countries on this planet. And among these many, many countries, there's one country called Australia. What's the population of Australia? 25 million? 25 million. And among these 25 million of these human beings, we've got 4 million in Melbourne or Victoria. And from these 4 million, we've got just this handful in this room. So we've got a huge, huge population out there of just humans, not just the conditioned living entities, who are enjoying. Enjoying as they seem fit, because the material sky, as we know, is actually a prison house. We originally belonged way up there in the eternal sky. And we were serving the Lord. We were serving as just servants in our various positions. Gopi Bhartaho Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Nudasa. Okay, we are just servants of the servants of the servants at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, who was the maintainer of the gopis. We were there, happily serving. But we got the free will. We got our minute independence. We decided we wanted to be Krishna. We wanted to lord over material nature. Krishna said, fine. Okay. No, actually, Krishna didn't say fine. He said, don't go. Okay. Be here. It's eternal happiness. We, like little children, throwing tantrums. He said, no, I want to go. Okay. I want to be the Lord. I want to enjoy like you. How is it only you can enjoy? I want to feel what you're enjoying. Krishna said, don't go, Baba. Serve me. I want to go. Just like a father and his little child, the child says, I want this. The father or the parent knows, don't do it, it's no good. The child says, no, I want it. Throws tantrums, rolling on the ground or whatever. You know. Then the father still says, no, don't go, not good for you. The child keeps on aggravating his tantrums, and finally the father says, all right, go. You're not listening to me, go. Go face the music, go experience it in yourself, and then we'll see what happens. And then, this material creation is all created, these jivas enter, but Krishna didn't leave us alone. As the loving father, he followed. He followed in the various forms, and he also is sitting in, within us, within this body, as Paramatma. He's still guiding us. But we are too busy. We are too busy to take notice of Krishna around us. We are more interested in enjoying life as we think it should be enjoyed. We are lording it over material nature. We are still trying to be the master of everything. In every level of this living existence that we know, we are just trying to lord over everything. At home, in the office, everywhere. Even in this temple community, we have got people who are trying to master everything. Every person who walks through that main gate is a boss who tells how this temple should be managed. Yeah. They got their view as to what we should do, what we shouldn't do. So it's in there. Yeah. But by the mercy of the Lord, somehow, in all these travels in this material sky, this conditioned jiva is traveling up, down, sideways, various universes, whatever. By the unimaginable mercy of Guru and Krishna, somewhere we got connected to the Hare Krishna movement. By the mercy of our spiritual masters, the previous acharyas, we got this connection to the Hare Krishna movement, ISKCON. This gives us an opportunity to really find out our true identity. To understand and to realize this material world is not actually a place to be. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Place of misery. Our real position is way back up there in Goloka Vrindavan. That's our goal, that's our prayojana. Okay. We know we have a sambandha, a relationship with the God. Okay. And there is a process to it, abhideya. Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada has wonderfully given us this process. In fact, he simplified it so much for us, to make it so adaptable, so palatable for us, so that we can actually revive this dormant, loving relationship with God that we have and go back there to where we originally came from. Then we got to ask ourselves, okay, are we truly trying to revive this dormant relationship? We are so caught up in these four problems of life, in the cycle of birth, old age, disease, death. We are so caught up, it's just going on and on and on. Okay. One thing for certain is, death is coming. It is just there, fixed. Bhagavatam says, danger in every step. Okay? We do not know when death is going to come to us. It's around the corner maybe. But here we go, making wonderful plans. In fact, Yamaraj, in Bhagavad Gita, actually questioned Yudhishthira Maharaj. What is the most wonderful thing in the world, within this world? Yudhishthira Maharaj answered, beautiful answer. Ahani ahani bhutani gachantiya yamalayam. Sheshaha stavaram ichanti kim ascharyam ataha param. Every day hundreds and thousands of living conditioned entities are dying. But the entity which is living goes on thinking that he'll live forever and does not plan for his death. Does not plan for his death. We plan, we make wonderful plans as to what we want to do over the next 24 hours, next 1 week, next 3 months, next 6 months, next 1 year, whatever. Okay? And all these plans are centered around what we are going to do with this life. We are not planning for death. Death is coming. It's a fixed point in time. So here we are, having had the mercy among all the millions, all the uncountable living entities out there, having had this opportunity to connect with Krishna in this lifetime through the parampara and through our gurus, we are here. And death is here. There is this small window in between. This window with each passing day through insurmountable time is getting narrower, is getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Eventually death is going to come. The moment of truth will be then, at the time of death. Because Bhagavad Gita says, at the time of death, we are supposed to remember. How nice it would be, like Lord Bhishma Dev, lying on a bed of arrows. transfixed on Lord Krishna and left his body. How nice it would be when we are on our deathbed, we can be transfixed to remember Krishna and leave, because that will definitely take us back to Godhead. But are we actually conducting ourselves in devotional life that is leading us to remember Krishna at the time of death? Srila Prabhupada, in, I can't remember where, in one of his lectures, he said we must be 100% Krishna conscious. 100%, 100% Krishna conscious. It was like he giving a class, he was sitting on his asana, and then he said, we must be 100% Krishna conscious. All those listening were like forlorn, despondent. Oh God, 100%, how to achieve? Cannot. Prabhupada made a discount. 90% Krishna will take you back. 90% Krishna consciousness, Krishna will take you back. Still forlorn, everyone listening. Oh, 90%, 10% discount, not enough. Prabhupada then starts moving from the asana, tries to come down. And this I heard in one of the lectures by my spiritual master. So as he's walking down, he says, even 80% Krishna consciousness, Krishna will take you back. A little bit of moving, 80% or 20% better discount. Then as he was walking out, close to the door, he looked back and said, even 70% Krishna consciousness, Krishna will take you back. He threw his chadar over his shoulder and walked out very dramatically. It's like, if you can visualize it. So, death is coming. We know we're going to face the moment of truth. Are we at least 70% ready to remember Krishna? I'm asking the question because I know I'm not. Many of you maybe are, or maybe all of you are, but I'm nowhere near. Okay. So it's like, what do we do? What do we do? Srila Prabhupada has given us this wonderful movement where we are actually able to revive our Krishna consciousness. Not just to the extent of 70%. It can go way beyond that. It can be 100%. Because the beautiful thing is, we are located on planet Earth, Bhurloka, which is a unique position to be in. Only two planets can take us back to Golok directly. Which are the two planets? And Earth. So think about this, how the causeless mercy has come to us in this lifetime to actually go through all these millions of conditioned living entities. We get this human form, and even to think about how we got the human form is so rare. How rare? Just ponder. We don't even have to meditate, just ponder. It's like 8.4 million species of life, there's one species called humans, and among the 400,000 human species, one. And then even for this one human being to take birth, it's like it starts with this sperm cell. Among the millions of sperm cells, one gets to fertilize. And that one fertilized has to be in the body of a human. And that one has to be born on planet Earth, which is that unique position. And from not only that, it has to be born in an environment where it has the opportunity, and in this lifetime it has come in contact with Krishna consciousness. And not only that, we are actually here in this room, in God's temple room, invited by God. How can anyone enter that door without Lord Krishna actually giving us the permission to enter this room? Just meditate or ponder as to how privileged we are. Krishna has done everything or more than enough to actually say, don't waste your time in this material world. What for? Okay? I've done all I can. I've given you the holy name. I've given you my Archa Vigraha form. Three beautiful altars. Not only that, I've brought my associates. Bhakti Devi, Tulasi Devi, who is actually Bhakti personified, is here in our midst. Not only that, I've actually allowed you to enter my room, my house. What more do you want me to do? All you need to do is chant. Just revive. Revive your dormant love for me. Come back to me. That's where you belong. So the question is, are we actually serious in our Krishna consciousness? Given this privileged position that we are in, okay, we need to get out from this material creation. We are all busy. See, we have come into the Hare Krishna movement. We are all busy. Service here, service there. Our weekends are more busy than our weekdays. No time. One home program after another. Gopal's vegetarian, busy, open, I've got to go and do service over there. You know, many things happening. But are we truly changing within the heart here? Are we actually feeling the compassion for the conditioned souls out there? Because there are two challenges we face. One is actually to liberate ourselves, and the other is to actually give Krishna consciousness to the others out there who are not actually connected. Are we feeling the compassion to give Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada said, you want to make me happy? Give Krishna to others. In Bhagavatam, Ashwatthama actually killed Draupadi's 5 children. Arjuna was very angry. Okay. Chased him. Krishna riding on the chariot chased him. Okay. Brahmastra weapon was released. Arjuna counteracted it. Caught Ashwatthama, brought him in front of Draupadi. Here you go. Kill him. He killed our 5 children. Even Krishna said, kill him. Draupadi, out of that mood of compassion, utmost compassion, said, no. I don't want his dear ones to cry for him just like how I've cried for the loss of my loved ones. We don't even have to have that high level of compassion. Do we have a tinge of compassion for the conditioned souls out there? Are we developing our selflessness? Are we developing our relationship with God, that loving relationship with God? Because by giving first, you give Krishna, then the change will happen within the heart. Krishna consciousness is all about experiencing. It's not a dry philosophy. You actually experience it within the heart first. So sometimes you feel a different feeling within you. Something new. And then you just like, that's nice. But I don't know why that happened. And then when in your journey of reading Prabhupada's books, suddenly you come across that it's like, that's what I felt. Or close to it. Because it's not really what is. As we know, the material sky is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So a little bit of what we feel, the true feeling we'll have over there in the spiritual world. So, the spiritual literatures are actually books of experiences. They actually document all what has been experienced. So sometimes when we experience, then we feel, that's in the book. So I felt it. So it's like, all right, okay. But that feeling is pure in the spiritual world. So, are we actually feeling this? Are we actually doing our devotional life in a way which is stirring within, which is actually connecting us through the parampara to actually feel that love for Godhead? We're engaged in chanting, we're engaged in reading Prabhupada's books, we're engaged in eating prasadam. And in Melbourne, we are so fortunate that we are actually surrounded by senior, long-time serving devotees who are setting examples for us to learn from. As I said, there are millions out there who are in the mode of ignorance. And we are all foot soldiers of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan army. Our duty, as I said, is to give Krishna consciousness. And in that process of giving, we will also get the benefit. But as we go out on Harinams and all that, we're happily chanting and all that, we got to remember those out there, they're going to think, all right, let me go and check out what these Hare Krishnas are actually like. They'll come. They'll walk through the main gate, they'll come. Okay? And when they come, they are actually coming to check out to see whether this is a place that they can belong. And of course, they want to see whether this environment is actually organized in a way that would be pleasing for them to come again and again and again and again to be attracted to the Lord. Therefore, we have a heavy responsibility to set good examples for them within this community. Which means, not only we go out on Harinam, we have a good time in the evening, that's our Friday night or Friday evening time out, and then we come, oh, that was good, right. And then we come back here, and then we don't queue up for prasadam. Simple. Okay. Come to think of it, it's like, we are meant to be role models. We are meant to be ambassadors of Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan Army. As people, the outsiders walk in, we're meant to be such good role models that they would be attracted through us, because when we are good examples, who gets the glory? Guru gets the glory. Prabhupada gets the glory. Krishna gets the glory. For example, if you go to an eating place somewhere, maybe not many of you, because if at all we are forced to like go to an eating place, you look at the service that you get first from the waiters, the waitresses, and then you make a judgment about the place and the owner of the place. So if people are coming in here, they want to see that they get good service here. The good service has to come from the waiters. We are the waiters and waitresses. We have the duty to actually be pakka devotees. We got to be serious in our devotional life. Seriousness in devotional life is not about how much we do in devotional life to the extent that we can't just fit anymore in 24 hours. It's about how well we do the little that we do. In what mood do we do that service? Are we cultivating a service mood? Are we actually doing it with devotion? Are we actually setting a proper example for the others who are looking at us? Because you never know who's looking at us. You never know. Every movement in this community is being observed. If you don't queue up for prasadam, people, the others in the queue are observing. We as devotees, it doesn't give us the God-given right to jump queue. In fact, we should be looking at, if we are waiting in queue, we should be looking at who's behind us in the queue. And if we see a new face we haven't seen before, we should have the sense to say, Prabhu, come, let's swap. You come in front. And I'll take your place. And then once we have taken that place, we should turn back and look again and see whether there's another new face. If there's another new face, do the same swap. Move back down. And keep on going until you see a familiar face. Then you say, all right, Prabhu, I can be in front of you. We should try it, yeah? Okay? Everyone in queue may look behind you and see whether we got a new bhakta or someone new. If you see a stranger, swap. Yeah? Then you go swapping, you'll see that, you know, right down at the end where you find that's your position. Now, if you think about it, as I said, we've got senior devotees here, long time, Aniruddha Prabhu, Achintya Rupa Mataji, decades, okay, Bhakta Prabhu, Bhakti Prabhu, Bhakti Mataji, Prabhu. Then we've got others like Gyana Samudra. Their mood is so rich. It's all about service to God. It's all about service to Krishna. It's all about Prabhupada. And I've experienced this. Saturday mornings, I get this privilege to be in the deity room, you know, preparing breakfast for their lordships. Okay, and Gyana Samudra cooks. Okay, so I can see him in action. Okay, he is totally absorbed in his service. Totally absorbed, giving so much of attention, because In his mind, he is cooking for a dear loved person, Krishna. He gives so much of attention. In fact, I'm not like that. In fact, there was this day where I happily carried the offering plates, brought it onto the altar, and I thought, yeah, okay, all done, time to do the offering. He came knocking on the door, okay, and he handed a bottle of honey to me and said, you forgot to put milk, honey in the milk. He was the cook in the kitchen, okay, and I happily brought everything because putting all this honey and all that is supposed to be my duty in the deity kitchen. I didn't do it, and I didn't know it, okay. But his attention was that this breakfast is for my dear Lord Krishna, therefore I have to make sure that he is going to enjoy it, and this is my small way of pleasing him. I have to do it with my utmost devotion. He came knocking on the door. Achintya Rupa Mataji, how many times have we actually seen her taking prasad at the front of the queue? She's always hidden in the background, serving, cooking. At this age, we are so fortunate in that sense. We are surrounded by all these wonderful devotees, but are we learning? I know I'm not. This is more of a self, this actually, I don't know whether it's a Bhagavatam class, but I'm just speaking from my heart. It's more like a self-criticism for me. It's like, I've got so much to do to actually be the proper, or even try to be a devotee, try and set a proper example for our community at least, and learn from the senior devotees around us. So, it's almost time. In conclusion, all I want to say is, in this lifetime, go back to Godhead or die trying. Seriously. Hare Krishna. Questions, comments?
In terms of your, you know, how Srila, you were saying that how Srila Prabhupada was saying about 100% and discounted to 90, etc. So what do you mean actually the 70% of Krishna consciousness? In what sense?
It's not that Prabhupada was actually discounted, not that he was saying that we should actually lower our standards. Prabhupada was making it adaptable, time, place, circumstance, okay, knowing how fallen we are, Prabhupada was making it adaptable to the level and extent that we can achieve. Prabhupada knows he's a pure devotee. But of course, we need to aim for 100%. Hope that answers.
That's right, but when you said 70%, of course, Srila Prabhupada, what does it mean in terms of 70% of what Krishna consciousness? How do we take that?
I would say, we got to give our utmost in this journey. We just got to give our utmost without compromising in our service to God. We just got to cultivate the service attitude to the utmost. Okay. I don't think we can actually define it to like, okay, do this little bit less, which would be 70%, do that little bit less. It's like, not in the sense of doing things less, but it's like still give our best to, or try to give our best to the little that we are doing. Even if you're sweeping the temple floor, just make sure every nook and corner is clean. Okay. So it's not about, I don't think we can actually quantify specifically as to what sort of service should be reduced. Any other questions, comments?
Well, I'm wondering, you know, sometimes devotees from festival, they work really hard. And like for Janmashtami, Snane Yatra, for Janmashtami, devotees, they're really service and they're fasting. And people who come here, they don't fast. They mainly don't fast. And then devotees, because of the work, to wait like 1 hour or 2 hours in the queue after so hard work and fast, I don't think it's fair. And also devotees, they work so hard for Krishna, you know, like they have crossways, they have books, they have that. And I think to wait, and this is their only meal, the people have their meal at home, and they don't have to wait queues for everyday meals. And devotees to wait every day in the queue because someone doesn't get offended. I think that the others, that's my opinion, I'm sorry, it's a discrepancy with yours. But every day to wait in the queue for your own basic meal, I think is not kind of fair. People don't wait in their houses for queues for everyday meal. So I think that the other people need to understand that devotees, this is their only home, what they have. And it's not fair for them to wait so long.
Point taken. I'm not actually sitting here on this asan to set rules for prasadam queuing. No, it's up to each and everyone. I just expressed my opinion. But to me, devotional life means sacrifice, selflessness. It's about giving Krishna to others first. Yes, we got to remember where we came from. We were once out there. We all know our journey. We were like that too. We were not fasting. We were not like practicing all the four regulative principles. But we went and somehow we were treated nicely, which evoked that change within the heart. And as we made some progress to Krishna consciousness, in Krishna consciousness to where we are, it still needs to be reminded that it is still a journey of sacrifice. It is still a journey of selflessness. It's still a journey of giving Krishna first. And whatever quota is set aside for us, Krishna, we know, sets us, he's got a quota for each and every one of us. Whatever quota is set for us, that's what we deserve. Okay, so, we can't fast, you can't fast. You can't queue up, you can't queue up. But if you can, cultivate that service attitude. Be last in the queue. Any other comments? We are running out of time. Yeah.
So, Brahmaji, he is born on the lotus. So how then he actually goes to the Brahmaloka? Can you just say a couple?
He dies.
Well, I mean, he's, as far as I understand, his planet is Brahmaloka, where he lives for his lifetime. So how he transfers from the lotus to the Brahmaloka?
Okay. Brahma's position is also is the topmost position in the material sky. Anything under the material sky goes through the four cycles of birth, old age, disease, death. Okay, so there will come a time after 4.3 million years, Brahmaji will also, his day is 4.3, and then he lives for 100 years, at least the Brahma in this universe, he lives for 100 years, and then he dies. So when he dies, he gets liberated, he goes back to Godhead. Then all the other planets and all that, they get annihilated, or they go back into Mahavishnu. Then when it comes to recreating again, they all come back. So with a new Brahma. Brahma is a position. You can be Brahma. It's a position. You can be Brahma, you can be Indra, you can be all the demigods if you want. It's just a position. So anyone having that position, given that it's a material body, has to die.
In the beginning of the lecture, you told that in the spiritual world, we had a position and then we claim that we want to become something we need to be like Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we came back. Now, there is a question that it is the false ego which is you are telling about, right? False ego is something like in the material world, or do you mean that false ego is there in the spiritual world too?
Vaikuntha, no anxiety, it's eternal, it's pure. So the question is, how can we fall? Yes. Right? We got free will, we got free independence. Okay, like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke, gave all the instructions to Arjuna, and finally he said, your choice. You decide. Okay? So in the spiritual world, of course, it's all meant to be eternal, happily serving. So how can this tinge of envy come? I can only say, I'm not sure, I can only say that the moment this little independence that we got is falsely used, it is trying to disconnect, immediately we fall. It doesn't even manifest. The mere indication that is coming out, it bang, we fall down. You know? So it's like, we And then the question comes like, once we have fallen, how do I know once we go back, I won't fall again? So somebody asked Prabhupada this. Prabhupada said, you first purify yourself, you go back, then you'll find out. Hare Krishna, you stop here. Krintara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.